Welcome, everyone. I'm Boris Grinka, Senior Research Manager for Research and Strategy. Today's clinic is E-commerce Optimization, a holiday playbook for procrastinators. Our special guest today is Linda Bustos. She is the e-commerce analyst for Elastic Path. She's a good friend, an e-commerce expert, and also a Marketing Experiments Certified Optimization Professional. Also here with me is Adam Lapp, one of our lead research analysts. And by the way, you'll be notified by email when today's clinic is available online, and we encourage you to use the Q&A feature of GoToWebinar, and we'll be asking you to participate throughout the clinic. So last year, our e-commerce playbook had dozens of ideas, case studies, live optimization examples. This year, we are streamlining the process to really focus on short-term, high-impact tests and tactics that you can apply without much friction from your IT department, from your design department, or even the CEO. These are things that don't require major budget approvals. They are really something you can plug immediately into your holiday plans. Also, this is maybe for some of you, it's not going to be this cutting-edge science that you might have come to expect from Marketing Experiments. We wanted to really help you get something into your holiday playbook, as we put it, in a very straightforward way, high impact, something you can do today, this week, tomorrow. We are going to go over really a couple of, again, quick actionable ideas. We'll have real examples of phages from you. We'll have even mock-up test treatments based on pages supplied by the audience. We'll use these to illustrate what we might test ourselves in our lab and how you can use these ideas again immediately today. Go over our playbook. So we have five items here. We're going to talk about search engine marketing, the SEO and PPC ideas. We're going to talk about comparison shopping engines, email, landing pages, and also just crunch time and also post-holiday ideas. And Linda, I'll let you get started.
Thanks, Boris. So the first area that I'm going to talk about is search engine marketing, or what we call SEM. The first tip that I have is, if you've been following Marketing Experiments for any amount of time, you're well-versed in the importance of value propositions. They are the key to success in any optimization effort. So one area that sometimes online retailers overlook is the SEO title tag and the meta descriptions, where you can actually insert your value propositions and market yourself there, because we know that a really high percentage of purchases originate in a search engine. So even if you're not the number one result in the search results pages, as the customer is scanning through the top 10 results or page 2 or page 3, and scanning these title tags and descriptions, your value proposition or your shipping offer or your special sale or whatever else you can include there to market yourself can stand out. And if you are involved in pay-per-click, another area that is really quick to set up is a quick ad group that is focused on relevant holiday keywords. Now, you might have multiple ad groups if you are selecting different landing pages for each of these, but here are some ideas to get you started. You can bid on holiday terms, and the most common ones are the Christmas and the variations of spelling Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, and just the word holiday itself. You've also got gift terms, like gift, presents, ideas for, presents for. And then the relationship terms, which are the people in your life that you're shopping for. And then the sales terms. After Christmas, if you look at Google Trends, which actually takes a account and graphs out the top 100 or so keywords every single day, and you actually can go back into the archive and pick a certain day and see what was the most commonly searched terms. But we're seeing last year that December 26, 27, 28, and for about a week after, it was really hot, these keywords, the after Christmas sale, December 26 sale, and so on. And if you're in a market like Canada and some other countries where we call December 26 Boxing Day, you can also bid on that keyword as well. Now, for up in Canada here, Boxing Day is one of the biggest shopping days, and if you're not brave enough to go brave the chaos in the shopping malls, you can sit at home and watch Rocky reruns for the Boxing Day theme.
So let's take a look here at a couple of examples of paid search ads. And again, this is applying marketing experiments conversion sequence. We're just going to focus on the specific items here in these ads. So here's an example of actually one of our other research managers here, Corey Trent, supplied. This is an example of searching for Halloween costumes. Halloween is coming up, so here's an example of one ad. Halloween costumes, shop for fun Halloween costumes, huge selections and savings. Probably for a lot of you, this is somewhat obvious. This is pretty spammy, your typical cliche statements, right? We have a huge selection and you can save a lot of money. This really doesn't tell you a lot. When we talk about clarity of the value proposition as part of the conversion sequence heuristic, we want to make sure that we can provide credible, preferably quantifiable reasons to, in this case, click on this ad. So let's take a look at kind of a rewrite of this ad. I'm sorry, this is actually not a rewrite. This is an example of a better version of an ad that Corey also provided. So here you can see, again, this is a result for Halloween costumes, but it's very clear. 120% price match. It's a very credible, very strong statement. It's quantified. Free shipping is explicitly stated. It's not an, it's, again, it's a quantified statement, even though it's not a number, but it's free. Discount Halloween costumes continues reinforces what it is that's being sold, although that's not a very strong statement. And again, the value is reinforced in the domain name itself. It's costumediscounters.com, as opposed to the first one, which is just Spirit of Halloween, which does not communicate value.
And you might notice by looking at the first ad that this is going to be the same type of ad that if you type in Halloween costumes, the first, the second, the third, the fourth ad are probably going to look very similar. So none of them are going to stand out. But as soon as you see the 120% price match, that's something that just pops out. You separate yourself from your competitors, and you're probably going to generate more clicks by including something quantifiable like that. And so let's take a look at some of the real examples that were submitted by our audience. And so the first example is for toe socks for everyone. And, you know, as we see, you know, same thing, it's sort of cliche, and they say, you know, they've already said for everyone, why do you have to say men, women, and children sizes? If you look at the alternate ad, instead of repeating what you already said in the headline, you really emphasize the value. You quantify $1 shipping, 100% price guarantee. And if you look at the headline, the thing that's, you know, the most powerful part of any kind of PPC ad, over 200 styles is going to immediately jump off the search results page. Ad number two, beef jerky at jerky.com. You know, top rated. What does that exactly mean? They did a good job of 30% off. You know, that's something that's probably going to stand out, but 30% off of what? And then, you know, just looking at the domain name, there's a lot of leftover space there that they could have used with a backslash. And so if you look at the optimized ad, number one, the headline stands out. So 100% premium. Not only is just some plain jerky that you can buy at any gas station, it's 100% premium. So it's going to stand out a little bit more. They clarify over 36 flavors. And then if you look at the domain name, instead of just saying jerky.com, we add something that just adds a little bit more relevance to the user by adding that domain name after the backslash. And then finally, the third submitted PPC ad submitted by the audience is for Colombian Emerald. And this is, you know, sort of the same thing that we see going on here. It's a lot of you know, salesy type copy that's not going to jump off the page, not going to stand out. It's not going to be something that increases a lot of desire from your searcher. So how do we fix that? Number one, we you know, make the headline stand out, you know, adding that extra, you know, great gift, you know, especially for this holiday season. And then we say it's handcrafted. You know, and not only is it luxury, but it's handcrafted. And just the saying something like handcrafted is probably something that's going to differentiate this ad from a lot of the other ads. And not only do we say free shipping here, but we clarify until free shipping is available. So not only do we offer the incentive, but we offer urgency for the person to get a click.
So you can see in these ads, by the way, these were the optimized version were prepared also by Corey Trent. And these are just examples. These are not necessarily and-all fixes for these ads. It's important that you understand that these are examples of what we would recommend that you test. There's probably for any of your products or any of your offers, there's multiple dimensions of the value proposition that you can express in different ads. We actually recommend paid search text ads as a great way to test different expressions of your value proposition. So these are just examples of rewarding the particular value that we thought the company was attempting to communicate in their regional versions. An important point I wanted to emphasize that Adam mentioned here, in some of these ads, make sure this is probably one of the more underutilized parts of paid search ads, is that URL. You have room there. There's such a tight character limit in a PPC ad. You have an opportunity in your either subdomain or a folder within the domain to continue to express your value proposition. So you can see here, you know, freeshipping.columbianemeralds.com is a great way to reemphasize free shipping even in the domain name itself. And Linda, we're going to move forward to shopping engines.
All right. So we know that shoppers use search engines to hunt for gifts, and often their searches will direct them actually to comparison shopping sites. So these are engines like Google Product Search, Shop.com, BizRate, Price Grabber, and so on. There's a number of them. And the shopping engine optimization is sort of a field of its own. It's sometimes called data feed optimization, but I like to call it the other SEO. It's very important for online retailers, but it has quite a bit of different tactics involved. So data feeds are the way that merchants provide their catalog information to these shopping sites. And the information that you include in your data feeds might vary between the engines. So some engines will allow you to actually add your free shipping offers or other value propositions in custom fields and extra fields. So it's important that your feeds are tailored to each engine and you're really taking advantage of the options that the engine is providing you. On the strategic side, you should also be planning to increase bids if you need to. Obviously, during the holiday season, your competitors might be getting a little bit more aggressive, and to be able to maintain the same positions that you normally enjoy throughout the year, you might have to boost up that minimum click bid. So you don't have to increase bids, and it's not to say that all of your competitors will, but depending on what other retailers are doing, you might even actually end up with a slight advantage if your competitors aren't turning them up. Now, whenever you turn something up, you also have to have that plan in place for when you're going to turn them back down so you're not bleeding money. So tie your bids to that day when you have your shipping cut off, when you say we cannot ship any more orders that will arrive by December 24th or by December 21st or whenever that shipping cutoff date is. And also, quality assurance is important. You always want to give your data feeds regular sanity checks, go through and find, make sure that your data and your entry is, you know, working well so that you don't have major holes in your program during the holidays. And finally, you do have the opportunity to pull non-holiday categories. For example, you might sell health and beauty products, but people don't necessarily buy vitamins to gift to each other. So instead of bidding on your vitamin category, you can put more into the perfume and the makeup gift sets and stuff like that. So pulling down personal items and promoting more heavily your gifting sets.
So speaking of holes in your quality assurance, you can see that this first shopping engine example that we pulled off the internet is an example of someone not keeping up to date on their shopping engine. As you can see, one of the most important things for somebody to identify with the product they're shopping for is the image, and this one doesn't have an image. And a couple of other quick points of this one is not doing well. There's not much of a description here. For somebody to buy a $120 pair of sunglasses, you got to tell me a little bit more about them. I'm not going to invest my time to click and visit a completely separate store on a different URL unless you give me a little bit more information. And, is there anything that differentiates this Ray-Ban sunglass store from somewhere else? Do they have free shipping? Do they have free returns? They don't tell me anything. And you'll see from the next ad that they do almost everything that I just said a lot better. They have an image, a better description. They clearly emphasize free shipping both ways. And this is even more important for holiday season as, you're getting this as a gift. So, come December 26th, your nephew doesn't like their sunglasses, rest assured you can send this product back with free shipping. And then finally, right before the button, right before they're ready to make a commitment, even though the price of the sunglasses are more, they have that free shipping logo right there before the button. And so as I'm scanning down the page, I'm going to see one sunglass for $115, one for $129. And I'm going to immediately compare the fact that one has no free shipping and the other does and say, hey, the shipping on the other one might be $20. And so I'll just go ahead, take my chances with the one with free shipping, the free shipping both ways, and the one that I can actually see the pair of sunglasses on and go ahead and visit that store.
It's so important, especially for lifestyle products like sunglasses. And so on, where it's a fashion issue, that you might want to return it, you might want to exchange it once you get it in your hands. So this free shipping both ways really stands out. And of course, again, at a glance, you can see that a product without an image display, it just immediately loses a lot of its credibility. Now, Linda, let's go to the email topic.
All right, on to email. So at holiday, that's a great time, but it's also a gruesome time for sending retail email. On the one hand, when you are deploying retail email throughout the year, you're kind of crossing your fingers and hoping that that recipient is in a shopping mindset at that very time. During the holidays, that's not really the issue. Everybody is thinking about buying something for someone. However, you're also competing for the attention of your emails against any other retailer that your customer is subscribed to. So, like Dr. Flint McLaughlin says, the goal of your email is not to sell, but to generate interest in visiting your site. And the same with the subject line. We're just focusing on subject lines here, and then marketing experiments team will talk a little bit more about creative. But to actually even get someone interested in viewing your email, that headline has to pop and has to stand out. And during the holiday times, as an online retailer, you're also competing against offline stores, and a lot of customers are just surfing the web to gather research and go purchase offline. So you really want to sell the value proposition of buying online itself. So these subject lines that I've picked out sort of speak to that pain point of, Christmas shopping takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of gas, there's long lineups, sometimes there's sold out products and there's not a lot of selections at the local store. Some items that are really hot sellers are hard to find in the store, and you also don't get a lot of support in store for actually finding the right gift for the right recipient, where the web can offer all of these things. So these examples that I pulled out were real examples from last year. The first one, you might be able to take a wild guess at who the retailer is. This is Hallmark, and they were saying easy. All of these boldings are my own emphasis to just really say this is what they're selling here. Easy to make holiday cards. We'll mail them for you. Wow, I'm interested in that. Writing holiday cards is kind of a pain sometimes, so that gets my interest. And then the other subject lines are avoiding the rush, avoiding the crowd. One of the main reasons people don't convert online or they prefer to shop offline is that they don't want to pay shipping fees. So including the free shipping or no threshold for free shipping is also very important. And the second to last one here, the gift guide is here, best gifts even at better prices. I'm not crazy about the subject line itself. I think that best, you know, can be a little bit presumptuous here. But this is Old Navy's headline from last year. And really, it's the gift guide that you can't find in the store. Online, you can build all sorts of tools, and maybe this is something that you put on for next year if you don't have one already. It does take some strategy and some design time. But having a gift guide, maybe an interactive gift finder or something like that, is really one way that you can sell your online store versus offline stores.
All right, so let's take a look at a couple of examples of email messages. And here's one that one of our senior research managers has submitted, Gabby Diaz. And I actually wanted to ask the audience to tell us what you think about this email. Here you have the subject line, 8 new style secrets plus a $20 thank you. How would you analyze this email? If you were to test this, if you were to create a treatment to test against this control, what would you do? Let's take a couple of questions. In the meantime, I guess if you have anything coming in right now. See, we got subject disconnected with content. There aren't 8 secrets in the email. This is great. Larger call to action. It's too hard to figure out. It lacks a specific call to action again. More people asking about where are the 8 styles. They promised us 8 new styles, 8 new style secrets in the subject line. We open this message and there's no 8 new style secrets. And again, we definitely agreed with that. The first thing you would expect from the subject line is to open this email and probably see 8 bullet points with new style secrets, and that is the one thing you do not see. We also notice here, as some of you have pointed out, the call to action is really weak. It does not look like a link. There's actually 2 calls to action here. One is get new style secrets, and the other one is shop now. But neither one of them is very strong. It really attracts your attention. The number one thing in this email is, of course, the graphic on the right side. And it's a very powerful image. However, it does not communicate what the subject line has promised us. It does communicate value to some degree. It is fashion related, but it's not the promise that the subject line has made.
And that's a really good point for us. And part of the most important part of value proposition is continuity between steps. So the subject line could provide one element of value, and then the email could provide another element of value. But unless those two sync and you have that relevance, you have that continuity, they're both going to be lost.
Let's take a look at another email that Gabby provided us. So again, the subject line, the perfect fall sweater, only $19.50 plus free shipping. So let's take a look at this email, how we analyzed it. Number one, they do a great job of connecting the subject line to the body copy. They promised us a sweater for $19.50 and free shipping. And the first thing you see on this page, besides obviously the very powerful graphic of the model on the right, is $19.50 is the first thing you see. The value proposition is restated very clearly. It's in the text on this page. Again, this does have a little bit of a magazine feel, but because there's so little text, and even though the call to action is fairly small, it actually does stand out just because there's nothing else around it, although it could certainly be strengthened. And the call to action, the 2 calls to action, again, they're competing with each other. We do talk about competing calls to action. This ad probably, or rather this email, could have been improved by really focusing the user on just the one thing that we want them to do is shop now for this sweater that's $19.50. So there is a little bit of competition between the calls to action, but they are at least visible and they're clearly in the iPath.
Okay, so before we move on to a custom or a audience member submitted example, I wanted to just answer a question that we got through our Q&A. And the question was, why did we say don't put huge selection, more selection on PPC ads, but why is it okay to have in a subject line? And I think there's one really key difference there, and the key difference is on your PPC ad, you have heavy, heavy competition all around that ad, above it, below it, to the sides, and pretty much everybody probably saying, huge selection, more selection. Whereas with an email, you may have a couple competitors in the same email box, but you know, most of the time you're probably going to be the only email there that is relevant to the visitor, and so you don't have to compete. So more selection, huge selection, has a lot more value when you're not competing and trying to differentiate yourself.
That's a really good point. And then another issue that might be at play here is with pay-per-click, sometimes your ad is being shown for a very specific keyword where a huge selection might not be relevant or even desired.
That's a great point. Actually, let me answer another question here that came in from the audience. They asked to clarify what we mean by natural iPath. Now, there's been a good number of studies on iPath, and there's a number of schools of thought. Obviously, you know this from the print days, that upper left corner gets the most attention, and then reading usually goes from left to right, then down to the left, and then over to the right along the bottom. So natural iPath will flow generally in that direction. However, because especially with the web, there's a lot more flexibility with graphics. You have some powerful graphics like the one you see here. The first thing that will attract your attention is the one that just basically will attract your eye the most. So, of course, in this case, if you look at this page, the first thing the eye will be drawn to is going to be the picture of the person, especially when the person is looking off of the page at you directly. And the second thing will be the largest text that's on this page as well. So natural iPath overall will flow from top to bottom. That's why we typically, when we talk about landing pages, and I don't want to deviate too far from our topic, we always talk about how we can organize our conversation with the customer in as straight a path as possible, vertically from the top down.
Sure, and every page is going to have a different iPath. It's whether or not you have a bright image on the right, a bright image on the left, headline here. But, you know, there is a natural inclination to experience a page in one way. And if that natural inclination is already there, it's always best to try to take advantage of that. So moving on to a audience-submitted email, we see on this page that the current headline kind of gets lost in the header. I immediately just skip over that headline and go straight to what's drawing the iPath, which are those main images in the middle. So I kind of lose what the whole email is about because I skip over that headline. So the relationship, the conversation has already skipped a beat right there. Also, same kind of idea, the free shipping that's located in the header. I'm going to immediately skip over the header altogether because of banner blindness or just those images drawing me downward, and so I'm going to miss the free shipping. As we get into the middle of the email, get into the main content, the main reason why you want somebody to click, what we see here, there's four equally weighted objectives. So you're causing a person to make not one decision to click, but two decisions. Number one, what do I click, and do I want to click? So you're increasing the distance between point A, interest, desire, to point B, the action you want someone to take. And then overall, within each of the objectives, the font and the color is a little bit difficult to read, and then also they don't really look clickable at all. So how do we optimize this email? We're going to show you a quick mock-up, and this is something that you may want to disregard the style and the layout and the feel, and just kind of use some of the principles within this mock-up as transferable principles to use on your own email. So if you look at the very top of the email, there's a key difference here. There is a index of the content of the email, and the main portions of the email are located in blue text links. What this is a way to avoid the pains of a viewing pain, in your Outlook or your Hotmail or your Gmail. A lot of times, images won't even show up, or somebody will not open the email, but just look at it through their viewing pane and skip right over. So with that top section, it's a quick, easy way to attract somebody's attention before they even open the email, just through their viewing pane. Also, as we go down to the body of the email, we see that the headline's perfectly clear right near the main content of the email. You have three bullet points that really emphasize the value of what's on the next page. And I think the main difference of the entire email is there's no guessing here. There's one place to click. The visitor doesn't get confused. It's just one clear button, and you sell them on the next page. You let them sort through the products on the next page. And for this email, for all intents and purposes, just accomplishing that one main objective of getting the click is your primary goal.
I think, as Linda mentioned earlier, the goal of the email most of the time is going to be just to get that one click. So you don't want to put a lot of thinking in front of your customer just to get that click, because you can do a much better job on your landing page of selling them. You have a lot more flexibility. The images may or may not display in an email. You're more restricted in an email viewer than you are in a web browser. So your goal in the email body is to really get that one click, just like the goal of the subject line is to get an open. And then on your landing page is when you do the heavy lifting of selling. Let's move on to our next topic of landing pages. Go ahead, Linda.
All right. Well, so far we've looked at a number of ways to drive traffic to your site. And just as important as driving that traffic is having the optimized website to convert that traffic. So you're familiar with the marketing experiments conversion sequence, and there's one part of it which we call anxiety that's also sometimes referred to as FUDs, fears, uncertainties, and doubts that the customer has when they are on your website and considering your offers. I don't have live examples to show you. I would love to have some, but we are kind of early in the season, and not too many retailers are throwing all of their tricks in the bag onto their holiday designs and moving these things around. And the second reason is there's a lot of things in what I'm going to talk about here that retailers aren't really doing yet. So you do have an opportunity to get a leg up here. Number one is, this is common, is a clear link to a gift guide. But oftentimes I see there's product finders and guides that are buried in either left-hand navigation or buried underneath several layers of menu navigation. Maybe a little link that's somewhere down at the bottom of your page in the footer next to the email sign up. So if you do have those assets, shine them. Make them dance right on the product page and on every single landing page that's possible. So all of your product pages can have a link to a gift guide as well. On the product pages, you don't want to make it a competing call to action to the actual product add to cart itself, but to have it visible where you are expressing that you do have some kind of a tool like that. A second must have is a clear link to a store locator. If you go search around 99% of the websites that have store locators, they're very faint links that don't get extra prominence up in either the header or down in the footer. Now, it may be that the web team has a competing profit loss statement with the offline team, and they don't really want to emphasize that there's local stores, but in most cases that's not the case. And so when holiday comes rolling around, taking that store locator and putting it, giving it a little bit more real estate love can help. It's actually a usability thing for customers to be able to find that quickly and be able to find where they can pick up in store if you have a ship to store, or where they can view your products in store. Now, if you're really heavy duty and you really have an advanced programming on your site, you might even tie in a real-time inventory look up within your local stores, or use some kind of geo-targeting tools to notify a person of the location right up on the home page. You can serve up different content to different people based on where they're located, by their state or by their country. So that's another thing to think about. Of course, we're 6 weeks into the holidays here, away from the holidays, so if you just have a store locator, the tip is to make it prominent Same goes for the shipping cutoff dates. To have a link to an actual page that details the shipping cutoff. Another thing that I've seen that's done really well, Amazon is an example, is they'll actually do the cutoff. Order by XYZ time today and receive it by this time, or only 3 days left until, you know, free overnight shipping is over. Similarly, your shipping policies, your return policies, and the countries you ship to, if they're relevant, should be easy to find, easier than during the rest of the year. Customer service numbers should also be on every single page. Again, every page is a potential landing page, so having the customer service number all throughout the site and also in the checkout is important. And finally, promoting e-gift cards is a nice little tactic to do all throughout the year because it doesn't require shipping in most cases. I think unless it's a physical card, it might be it should be offered for free. You should always ship gift cards for free. And people like to give and receive gift cards. It's kind of a no-brainer gift. It's something that's a little bit more personal than cash, but it's a little bit less risky than actually choosing a gift for someone. And every year when they do customer polls, a high percentage express that they do love to get gift cards and they like to give them as well. And they also have the benefit where usually people come back and spend a little bit over the dollar value of what it's worth, so it's nice to have people introducing others to your brand or reinforcing that the brand preference of giving your gift card from your store.
Thanks, Linda. Yeah, I think a lot of what you just talked about we could probably see on this audience example. This is a page that sells bath and body products, and the particular page we're looking at is a sort of a gift basket page. And a good idea for any kind of holiday promotion is to give a gift basket rather than separate individual products. But we do see a lot of potential with this page, and for the theme of this clinic in terms of quick things you can do before the holidays, I don't think they're going to be able to do a gift guide, but there are a lot of different things that they can do on this page to, like you said, reduce that anxiety and hopefully get more purchases. Looking at this page real briefly before we see the optimized version, does anybody out there in the audience see how much shipping is? It's actually on this page, but it's really, really difficult to see. It's in that top right corner. I think it's the smallest font on the page. And although it's not free shipping, it is $5 flat rate shipping, which, although it does cost something, it does reduce the anxiety of not knowing how much shipping costs. So just bringing that out more, emphasizing it more with the elements that control iPad, such as size, shape, color, etc. Also, we see that the main image on the entire page, the a bit of everything, image is it's not clickable at all, and they're not promoting one individual product, and so they're wasting a lot of space in return for getting very little. If you're going to spend that much space promoting your products, you really want to get some type of return within that space. And as Linda said, it's really important to add a phone number to contact. People are going to want to know, is this going to arrive before Christmas? What's the cutoff day? Et cetera, et cetera. And not only does the phone number allow them to call and to ask questions, but it gives the company credibility. Hey, there is this the store, there's this brick and mortar store somewhere out there with somebody standing by to answer all of my questions.
This is, by the way, a great example. If you can go back for just 1 second. Adam just pointed out that top banner really takes up a lot of space, but doesn't lead to anything. This is where we always talk about you want to start a conversation with your customer. In this case, the conversation is started in this banner, but it doesn't really lead anywhere because you restart the conversation again with a body copy about this particular product. So I just wanted to add that to Adam. Go ahead.
Sure. So what can we do real quickly, you know, without completely, you know, radically changing the page? You know, and that's going to take a long, you know, development, you know, design process that you're probably not going to get done before Christmas comes around. Number one, the very top image of the page, instead of promoting kind of a generality of, you know, general gift baskets with nowhere to click, you know, promote your best product. And, you know, the vanilla milk bath may not be your best product. It's just, you know, a product that I pulled out from the page. But, you know, promote your best-selling product up here. You know, tell me exactly what I get with the product and give me a clear button to click. So, you know, this new section utilizes the space much more effectively. Also, one thing we see almost industry-wide in terms of the shopping cart area on an e-commerce page is if there are zero products in your cart, then why show your zero products? You know, as a customer, I know I have not added anything to my cart, so I don't really need you to tell me that. Instead, utilize that space more effectively. So until somebody actually adds a product to their cart, utilize that space that's going to draw the eye, it's going to draw the attention. Utilize it to say, hey, we have Flattery shipping. And if you do order, it's going to arrive in 5 business days. And utilize that space to your advantage. Also, you know, for somebody just searching around on the internet, a brand new customer, they're going to want to trust you. They're going to want to gain your trust and know that you're a credible company. So add that phone number at the top. You know, add that secure shopping logo. And, you know, even though there's no VeriSign or no HackerSafe and it's just a lock image, just stating that at the very top of the page really goes a long way in reducing worry, anxiety, any kind of concern about somebody, you know, stealing my credit card. And then also, how do you differentiate yourself from your competitors? Well, you know, include some of those third-party credibility indicators such as, you know, your Green America approved for, you know, Planet. You have a seal that says you don't hurt animals. And then most importantly, you have a 100% money-back guarantee. You know, they actually do have a money-back guarantee. You know, if you search around through, you know, the About Us page or the Return Policy page, you know, it's in that buried treasure. It has the buried treasure effect where you have really good offers, really good information, but it's buried deep in the page. And so just placing that on the page in very good position for the visitors to see it, immediately know I can return the product, goes a long way to increase conversion rate.
Let me answer quickly a question from the audience. Do you recommend creating landing pages designed to look like catalog pages from your site versus being specific to the offer? So I'm just going to try to answer this quickly. The key thing to creating your landing pages is relevance, just like with everything else. So if you know that people that are arriving at that landing page are being driven by your catalog, you probably want to have some continuity with your catalog. If you are, however, driving, let's say, traffic with a specific offer through your PPC ads, of course you want to make your landing page as specific to that particular offer as possible. So if you're driving to a particular product, for example, you don't want to land the person on your general catalog search page. You want to land them on that very particular product. And actually, if you go to marketingexperiments.com, you'll see in our journal, actually, there's a number of case studies that you can read about relevance. But let me move on to the next topic here. Linda, go ahead with the crunch time and last minute plays.
All right, that's kind of fitting as we're running into the last minutes of our webinar. Post-shipping cutoff day is when you are going to transition into your next marketing strategy, and you don't have to abandon the holidays. You can start shifting towards the gift cards, which are the last minute gifts, and picking up in store if you offer that. And a really interesting service from upresence.com is you can have these little custom e-cards that will be sent from the gift giver to the gift recipient that says, sorry, the present was a little bit late and it will arrive late, but you weren't forgotten. And finally, we've got some post-holiday New Year's transitions. So it's not too late to start thinking about this now either. What kind of products are you going to be featuring for the theme of New Year's? So if you have products that can be used for New Year's parties or New Year's resolutions, those are great things to include in your email campaigns and in your pay-per-click search terms that you're bidding on and your homepage merchandising.
Let's take a look at some landing page examples here with gift cards, actually. So just went online and searched for bookstore gift cards, and here are two examples, one from Barnes & Noble, and we're going to see another one from Borders. What we see here, and for the sake of time, let's just jump straight to the key points. This page here is definitely a showcase page. It just shows you a lot of options, a lot of different cards you can pick for a present, a lot of different occasions. However, what it does not do is really help you make a choice, and it certainly doesn't sell anything at this point. The only call to action that exists on this page is to see more details. So it's kind of geared towards someone who is casually browsing, probably geared towards someone who is really a loyal Barnes & Noble customer, because right now I don't see a compelling reason to really buy anything in particular. I'm just offered a lot of variety, a lot of competing calls to action, but nothing really to do. What I don't see on this page is an add to cart button. If I'm a busy holiday shopper and I'm going through a bunch of PPC ads, I'm just clicking on all the different offers, and when I land on this page, I really don't see what I can actually buy. So unless I really have a lot of time, which we really can't expect from our website visitors to have, there's really nothing on this page compelling me to take an action. Now let's take a look at the page from Borders. I think it does a much better job. And again, this, of course, these are all recommendations that you should test, especially for different channels. Some other channels of your traffic might actually like that kind of directory page that doesn't really put an offer in front of them. But we think that for a broader audience, this is a great example right here. Immediately, you can add to cart a $25 or a $50 card. It's a purchase you can make instantaneously, so your customers that are highly motivated can come in, make that purchase, and be done. Then you have two other choices, which again, even though there is some sense of competition, really what it does allow is for customers to self-segment. Those who are ready to buy will click add to cart. Those that want to customize the card will create their own or pick a stock design. What, by the way, both of these sites do, which is interesting, is that on the custom side of the offer, when they do let you pick a different design, neither one of them actually sells you the card first, and this is a great test for you to run. If you do have customization options for your product that don't change the price, make them purchase the item first and make customization a separate step after you already got their credit card information.
And all the fans of Jimmy Ellis out there, I don't think he's on the line right now, but I just want to point out this page really follows something Jimmy talks about all the time, just guiding your visitor to where they want to go. So Jimmy, a lot of times he'll say, just have your headline say three ways to shop at Borders. And this page, although it doesn't have that type of headline, the design of the page has that type of strategy, three ways to buy your gift card.
Here we have another quick question here, and I wanted to see, Linda, maybe you'd like to weigh in on this. The question was, what will have the most significant impact on the conservative, fearful shoppers in December of 2009?
I hate to give the stock consultant answer, but it depends. It depends on what your product is, and it depends on what's involved in the purchase itself. So I don't know if the question answer could quickly fire off what type of product it is, and maybe I can give some more context around that. Otherwise, I can sort of make up an example. But certainly
Go ahead, Linda.
Yeah, certainly for higher ticket items and things with a lot more consideration, the fears are going to be a lot different than something that is kind of a commodity or something that's available in more places. A lot of the anxiety has to do with shopping from you particularly versus another person. So that's where your value propositions are coming in. Shipping costs are always on the customer survey list of why they don't want to shop online. Security is and payment options are other ones. So I can't really say which one will be the number one in every individual customer's mind on what their most anxiety fear, but those are the top three, and those all revolve around, can I trust shopping with you?
Thank you, Linda. As we are wrapping up here, I definitely encourage some more questions from the audience. If we don't have a chance to answer them live right now, we'll answer them. We'll try to answer them by email or on our blog or on marketingexperience.com journal. Also, you can follow us on Twitter as well as in LinkedIn, and you'll find those links on our site. Just to make sure that you're all aware, we have a new holiday call for research partnerships. If you have a research proposal you'd like us to address, please send it to us to partners@marketingexperience.com. Our optimization training courses are currently happening. There's a new one that's going to be in New York on December 10th. Also, we definitely invite you to visit Linda's e-commerce blog. We follow it. We read it every day. Again, reminding you, we definitely value your feedback. Please take a look at the survey that you'll see after you get out of the GoToWebinar screen. Please let us know what you thought about this clinic, what we can do better, what other topics we can address. We're very interested to hear from you what you are interested in. And again, this clinic will be available online, and we'll let you know via email. And thanks, everyone, for being on this clinic. Have a good afternoon.